Well, Charlie Graham, as you can see, is using every bit of ammunition he has in his whole arsenal to try to pull this game out of the fire. This is the fourth pitcher, we've told you, who came out there. As you know, but to remind you of the late tuner in you are, Hank Baroy started the ball game, and they collected three hits in a row off of him, and that was all for him. Then big Paul Derringer came in. He was relieved by Vandenberg in the second inning. Vandenberg pitched mighty classy ball. He gave up only one hit, the only hit he's given up in the series. And now Vandenberg was lifted in the last half of the fifth inning for a pinch hitter, and so we have blonde Paul Erickson, a big right-hander. So far in this series, Erickson has appeared in three games. This is the fourth game he's come in as a pinch pitcher. He has pitched five innings and given up six hits. Erickson hails from Zion, Illinois. Stands 6'2", and he weighs 200 pounds, and he's a big, impressive figure out there on the mound. Getting ready to pitch now to Jimmy Webb, the right-handed hitting shortstop. And he feeds him a call strike. That was a fastball that clipped the inside corner waist high. Webb is starting the fourth batting around for the Tigers. Erickson works sidearm, and Webb fouls it off for strike two. The ball's two strikes on Jimmy Skeeter Webb. The Skeeter's got his three-year-old little daughter, Carol Ann, here. She's a nice-looking kid. Two strikes on Carol Ann's papa. Swings on that one. There's a fly ball going into center field. In comes Papko. He's under it now and takes it for the out and falls to one knee after he does so, but I don't think he's hurt. Nope. So Webb is out of there. Andy Papko in center field's okay. That's one away for Detroit now in the top of the sixth inning. And this is a tense battle, and you can tell by the fact that you don't get too much noise in the background except when there's a Cub rally on that these Chicago fans are pulling for their team. Now here's Eddie Mayo stepping up, batting left-handed. Takes a call strike. Erickson was very fast with the curveball just above the knees on the outside corner. Mayo bats left-handed. He's 1-for-3 in this game. Backs away from an inside pitch that's low by the shins. Ball one. One ball, one strike. Mayo usually parks his chewing gum on that button on the top of his cap, but I haven't seen him doing it in the World Series. This is a little bit too serious to be parking gum on your cap. One and one on Mayo. Erickson pitches sidearm. It's too high. Ball two. Al is taking a look at Mayo through his glasses, and just to keep all the reporting straight, the gum's up there. Todd Spodkins. I bet it freezes. Two balls, one strike on Mayo as Erickson takes plenty of time for this next pitch. Now the big guy winds up, delivers. Mayo swings on it. There's a fly ball going into left field. Off to his left is Lowry, and on the run, he makes a good catch. That was a pretty deep hit ball. Peanuts Lowry, starting with the crack of the bat, was running back into his left. And back almost by that vine-covered wall out there, he made the catch. Mayo is out, and that's two out for Detroit now in the top of the sixth inning. And here's Doc Kramer, who's been pretty sensational today. He's gone 2-for-3. He now has 10 hits, and that's more than any other Tiger. Swings on one, slaps it down the left field line's foul. Goes over into the stands. A dozen and one people stand up and reach their fingers up to try to catch that. Can get a broken finger that way. One strike on Doc Kramer from Manahawkin, New Jersey. The Fox Hunter. Swings on that one, slaps it out in the center field. There's another hit for him. The ball rolls out to Papko in center field, and he throws it back into second. And Kramer is on with his third hit of the afternoon. That, of course, is the first hit off Erickson. And the batter coming up is Greenberg. And there's a stir in the stands as Big Hank advances to the plate. Hank has been walked twice today, and he's been walked six times in the series. His first time up this afternoon, he sacrificed successfully. So Big Hank, the long ball hitter who has slugged out two home runs and three doubles, steps up there. And he gets a call strike. Erickson was sharp with a fast curve just below the shoulders to Mr. Greenberg. Hank's got one of his wrists taped up today. Here it is. Greenberg takes it outside. One ball, one strike. And Peanuts Lowry has gone so deep out in the left field that you can barely see the little fella. He's backed up there. It was over his head that Hank Greenberg slugged that one yesterday. Here it comes. Greenberg takes another call strike. And Hank, who's usually pretty genial, looks a little bit irritated at that. Two strikes on him. The outfield plays Greenberg so that there's a big hole between center field and right field. They pull him around to the left. He's a right-handed slugger and a full hitter. Kramer leads off first, two out. There's a throw to first. Kramer hops back on. For all of his 39 years, Doc Kramer says he's going to continue to play baseball till somebody beats him out of there. That's the spirit. Greenberg fouls that one off. Lands in the big fishing net here behind the catcher. Count is still one ball, two strikes. On Henry Greenberg. I think that's the first time in this series he's been called Henry. Erickson works. There's Kramer breaking for second. The pitch is outside. Livingston has a hard time holding it, and Kramer goes on down to second unmolested, and it's a stolen base for him. That's the third stolen base for the Tigers in this series, and the second one today. Cullenbine, Outlaw, and Kramer have now all pilfered a bag. The Cubs, on the other hand, have two stolen bases. Johnson and Papko snitched them. Alan Greenberg is two balls, two strikes. Now big Paul Erickson in that spanking white uniform of his stretches. Delivers to Greenberg, who strikes out.
Boy, you could get elected mayor of Chicago by striking out Greenberg today. That's all for the Tigers at the top of the sixth. No runs, a hit, a man left on, and there were no errors. So as we head to the last of the sixth, the score is Detroit 6, Chicago 2. Fans, doesn't it stand to reason that Gillette, of all folks, has the resources, experience, and skill to produce the kind of shaving cream that you want, the kind that softens your beard thoroughly and makes shaving more comfortable? Well, take it from yours truly, that's just what Gillette Lather Shaving Cream does. It makes a rich, moisture-laden lather that holds a barrel of water and releases it freely, soaking every bristle and keeping your whiskers soft all the while you shave. Your razor glides like a feather. You get shaves that are shaved. Men, Gillette Lather Shaving Cream stays wet on your face and keeps your whiskers properly conditioned while you shave. Moreover, it's kind to your skin, and it has a fleeting fragrance that men prefer. You get cleaner, smoother, better-looking shaves, and you save money, too, when you use Gillette Lather Shaving Cream a quarter. The last half of the sixth inning, and Chicago, trailing by four runs, finds that the chances are running out. The sands of time are working against them. And they have, in the regulation distance, four more times at bat to salvage this ball game. Else the Tigers march out of Wrigley Field World Champions for 1945. Now Neuhauser is flailing that arm around of his. And here's Johnson up, a right-handed hitter who is one for two. And there's a call strike, a beautiful curve by Neuhauser. Ooh, that fella has stuff. One strike on Don Johnson. Johnson doubled in the first inning. Swings on that one, fouls it off. Two strikes. He lands on the net behind the catcher, Paul Richards. Richards comes from Waxahachie. He tells me that's the way to pronounce it down in Texas. We've been calling it Waxahachie, and we apologize now to every citizen of Waxahachie. Two strikes on Johnson. Now Richards of Waxahachie gives the signal to Neuhauser. He's ready to go. Johnson swings, strikes out. That is strikeout number five for Neuhauser. Neuhauser struck out one in the first inning, one in the second, none in the third, none in the fourth, two in the fifth, and now one in the sixth. The batter now is Peanuts Lowry, a right-handed hitter who is 0 for 2 today. Peanuts crouches, swings, slaps it out into left field. It's a single. Greenberg coming up to field it, bobbles it for a minute. But Lowry, after taking a sharp turn at first, goes back to first. It's a single for Peanuts, and it is hit number five off Neuhauser. And Cabaretta, who's had a hit every time this afternoon, steps up to the plate. Pearl now has 10 hits in this series out of 24 times up. He's had two doubles and a homer. The pitch to him is low and outside. Ball one. Neuhauser will be pitching with extreme care to Phil Cabaretta, the star first baseman and the National League's batting champion. Lowry leads off first. Here's the pitch. High and outside. Curve that broke away. Ball two on Cabaretta. You can hear the ascending roar of the fans here in Wrigley Field as again the Cubs start a threat. That's a call strike. Three-quarter speed curve ball that hooked over there for Neuhauser. Cabaretta took it. Two and one.
Outfield is straight away, but deep on Cavaretta. He swings on a low breaking curve and misses it. That's that low outside curve that Cavaretta swung on three or four times I can think of in the series. Now Newhouser watches Lowry at first, delivers to the plate. Cavaretta takes it. Ball three. Now it's a full count. 3-2. And Grimm, coaching at third, bends over, puts his hands on his knees, and he's not jolly now. He's stern and tense. Newhouser stretches. Here's the 3-2 pitch. It's swung on. There's a fly ball popped into center field. In comes Kramer. He comes up to it and catches it. Lowry's going to have to hurry to get back to first, but does so. Cabaretta's out on a fly to short center field that Doc Kramer had to come rustling in to get. Lowry remains at first. There are two out. And here's Andy Papko, who has hit the extremes in his batting today. The first time up, he hit into a double play. The last time, back in inning number four, he got a triple to center field. He's a right-handed hitter, is Andy. He's one of the six Papko brothers from up Wisconsin way. Newhouser pitches him. It's good. Fast curve midway between the waist and knees. Andy took it. One strike. There's strike two. That was a fast curve on the inside corner. Papko crowds the plate just a little. He wasn't sure of that one. Two strikes. Papko's had six hits 26 times up in this series. That one's low into the dirt. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. Two out, a runner at first. Harold Newhouser stretches, delivers, and he strikes out. Papko is out of there, and that's strikeout number six for Newhouser. He struck out two of them this inning, and he struck out two in inning number five. So in the last half of the sixth inning, no runs for Chicago. One hit, one base runner left on, and there are no errors. So the score at the end of six full innings of play is Detroit 6 and Chicago 2. That makes for Mr. Newhouser in the series, 8. And now we move into inning number 7. And as we've said, the issue is becoming sharper and sharper with each advancing inning. And now there are only 3 innings left. The Tigers are out in front, 6-2. And on the mound, Erickson is completing his warm-up pitches. Behind the plate is Mickey Livingston, the fiery guy from South Carolina. And at first is Cavaretta, and at second is Johnson. And at shortstop is Roy Hughes, Whispering Roy. And at third is the great Stan Heck. And in left field is Little Peanuts Lowry, and in center field there's Andy Papko. And out in right field is Bad Bill Nicholson. And those are the Cubs in the field, and they're behind now. And Detroit threatens to take the series from them, as they did 10 years ago. Now the first Detroit batter in inning number 7 is Roy Cullenbine. He has been walked 7 times in this series, and he struck out twice. Today he's been walked twice and struck out once. That was his last time up. Pitch to him is low and outside by Paul Erickson. Ball one. Cullenbine, big and husky, can hit from either side of the plate, batting left-handed, of course, against right-handed pitching. Erickson works. It's outside. It's a sidearm delivery that didn't quite do what Paul wanted it to. The pitch, good. Cullenbine started for it, checked his swing, and it was in just above the knees. Two balls, one strike now. Cullenbine, a citizen of Detroit. Quite a bowler up there, as a matter of fact. A lot of ball players like to bowl. Here's the pitch. It's inside. Ball three. Three balls, one strike now on the first batter for Detroit in the top of the 7th. Erickson looked a little disconsolate after the call on that last one. There's no activity in the Cub bullpen right now. That's a call strike on Cullenbine, who had turned as if to start down to first. Cullenbine has been walked more than anybody in the series. He's had 7 Annie Oakleys. Now the count on him is 3-2, and the string she runs up. Erickson's working. It's high, and Cullenbine has walked again. That gives him 8 walks in the series. Now, don't get record-minded on that, because the record number of walks garnered by any batter in the World Series is 11. Cullenbine's 3 away from that. And, of course, that was Ruth back in 26 in the 7-game series between the Yanks and the Cards. The Babe was walked 11 times. Now the batter is Rudy York. Erickson pitches him high and inside for ball one. Cullenbine is at first. This is York's 3rd official time up today. He hasn't hit yet. He was walked once. York in the series has been walked 3 times. Struck out 3 times, too, incidentally. Swings, misses it. Foul tipped it. Went whopping into the chest protector of the umpire. 1 ball, 1 strike. Center fielder moves a little to his right, to our left on York. And Nicholson pulls over to the left, too, the right fielder. Pretty good piece of territory between Nicholson and the right field line. York swings, misses. Strike 2. Rudy didn't swing with his full power on that. And now there is activity in the Cub bullpen. It's Ray Prim out there. Numbering up that left arm of his. 1-2 is Erickson's count on York. The pitch. Strike 3. Paul. That's the second strikeout for Paul Erickson. Cullenbine is still at first. One out for Detroit in the top of the 7th. If you just tuned in, scores 6-2 in favor of Detroit. Now here's little Jimmy Outlaw. He's had 1 hit out of 2 official times up. Right-handed batter. Swings on a foul ball as Cullenbine broke for second, and the ball goes down into the stands there, and Cullenbine will go back to first. That's a strike on Outlaw. Jimmy batted in a run back in inning number 1 by the simple process of being walked. He's batted in 3 runs in the series. He's had 5 hits out of 26 times up. Now Outlaw's ready to go again. Erickson pitches high. Ball 1. 1-1 on little Jimmy, who hails from down in Jackson, Alabama. He's very well liked there, and I may add, everywhere. He's a swell little guy. There's a throw over to first. Big Roy Cullenbine was not far off, and so he didn't have to do much by way of getting back. Erickson works. Cullenbine is breaking, and the ball is popped up into short center field. In comes Papko under it, and Cullenbine, halfway down to second, beats his way back to first. Papko took it on the run for the out on Outlaw. 2 out. Top of the 7th. The batter now is Paul Richards, right-handed hitter, who has a double out of 3 times up, and he has driven in 3 runs this afternoon and 5 in the series. I had a wire from down in Atlanta where he used to be the manager of the Crackers, and they said down there we affectionately call him Old Slug. So Old Slug swings and misses one. That's a strike on Paul. He's from Waxahachie, Texas, a right-handed hitter. Swings, fouls it off, falls to the ground. Now he's up again. He was sort of trying to move himself out of the way of that pitch. His bat came swinging around, and the ball caromed off his bat, and he ended up on the ground. 2 strikes. Cullenbine, who was walked, is still at first, and there are 2 out. Erickson works, down low into the dirt, neatly held up by Mickey Livingston. Steve O'Neill, coaching down at third, is looking down at the ground, kicking the dirt a little bit. And I imagine at this particular point, his heart is full of joy and nervousness. Here's the pitch to Richards. He swings on it, snaps out in center field. It's falling in for a hit. It's falling to the left of Papko. It's rolling to the wall out there. Here's Cullenbine rounding third. He's headed for the plate. Here comes the throw into second, and Richards lazily holds up at second with a run-producing double. Second double of the afternoon for Old Slug, Paul Richards, and it's his 4th run batted in today. And for Detroit, it is run number 7, and they lead the Cubs now by a score of 7-2. There's a round of applause for Newhouser as he comes up. Bats left-handed, and Erickson pitches him inside for ball one. Paul Richards takes a lazy lead off second there. Not lazy in that sense, he's just relaxed. Newhouser swings on one, slaps it out towards center field. Pathcore going to his right, takes it nicely on the run. That's all for Detroit in the top of the seventh. One run on one hit, there was one base runner left on, there were no Cub errors. And the score at the end of 6.5 innings of play is Detroit 7 and Chicago 2. Well, now just about everybody knows genial Irish Joe Cronin of the Boston Red Sox, one of the greatest shortstops of all time. Joe, who has spent more years as a player manager than any other major leaguer, is with us here in the booth again this afternoon. Time ran short when you were on the air last Saturday, Joe, so let's pick up where we left off. You know, we say that the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are the greatest shaving team on earth. What do you say, Joe? Well,
I'm with you 100% on that, Bill. In my experience, no other combination compares with it for easy shaving.
Right you are, Joe. That's because the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are made for each other and work together perfectly.
Well, they sure do a smooth job on my whiskers every time.
Well, that's putting it very straight, and thanks, Joe Cronin. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. And now it's the home half of the seventh inning. And still the Chicago fans are on their feet in the old baseball custom. Nicholson is going to be the first hitter for Chicago in the last of the seventh. And lefty Hal Newhouser, who in this series has won one and lost one, and is trying to pitch the Tigers into the World's Championship in 1945 and doing pretty handsomely right now, is on the mound. And this young 24-year-old, who's a Detroit product all the way, started his athletic career in Wilbur Wright High School up there. One of the great stars in Tiger history this year, is about to pitch to Nicholson. He does so, and Nicholson takes it. It's outside. Ball one. Bill Nicholson hasn't had a hit today. Fouled out once to the catcher, and the next time hit back to Newhouser on the mound. Swings on this one. There's a high foul up, coming back into the stands. Lands on the screen and lazily rolls off. One ball, one strike on Big Bill Nicholson. Nicholson has driven in 7 runs so far in this series. That's more than anybody else. Newhouser lets it go. It's high, and Nicholson fouls it off, reaching for a high 3/4 speed curveball. One ball, two strikes. Nicholson is dark complexion, and he has that menacing attitude at the plate that we've described to you so many times. Art Passarella, the plate umpire, moves out there and holds up the game for a second while some Tiger players in the bullpen down right field get off the field. Now Newhouse is ready to go, and here's the pitch. Nicholson swings on it. There's a bounding ball down to first. York has it. Tosses it underhand to Newhouser, who steps on first just ahead of Nicholson for the out. Nicholson is out 3-1. And that's another rather smoothly executed play at first base by Rudy York, whose defensive play in the series has attracted a great deal of comment, and deservedly so, too, because Rudy, not generally known as a great fielding first baseman, has been very, very sharp here in this 7-game 1945 series. Now the batter is Mickey Livingston. Former GI, that's right-handed. Newhouser delivers him, and it's swung on and slapped out into left field for a hit. Greenberg fields it on the second bounce out there, and there's his good throw into second. Livingston is on at first. That is the 8th hit in the series for Mickey Livingston, and his first one this afternoon. And Stubby Overmeyer is working in the bullpen for the Tigers now. The little short, stocky Michigan man. Mickey Livingston at first. The batter is Whispering Roy Hughes. Got a lot of friends down in Cincinnati, has Hughes. Pitch to him is low and outside. Al Benson is now up and tossing the ball around in the bullpen of the Tigers also. Livingston at first with one out. Hughes attempts to bunt one that rolls foul. He was really wanting to get one down that third base line on Jimmy Outlaw, who was playing fairly deep on this right-handed hitter, and beat it out, of course. Claude Passeau is throwing the ball in the bullpen of the Cubs. Both managers keeping men all warmed up. Any little old break one way or the other, they're going to make a move. count on Hughes. It's one ball, one strike. Newhouse pitches him, and Hughes fouls it into the crowd down the right field line. Two strikes. One ball, two strikes. This fella Hughes started his baseball in the sandlots of Cincinnati where he was born. Lives in California now, however. That pitch is low into the dirt. It gets away from Richards, and going down to second is Mickey Livingston. We'll get the scoring on that for just a second. I have a hunch it was a wild pitch. It's a wild pitch. Ball was thrown into the dirt to the left of Richards, who tried to scoop it up. Then it bounced off his mask and rolled over toward the crowd here. While that was happening, Mickey Livingston was churning his way down to second. That's the first wild pitch that Hal Newhouser's made in the series. And one of the reasons why Hal Newhouser's production of wild pitches and his wildness has been cured, as it has been in the last couple of years, is that guy behind the plate, Richards. He was a cagey catcher at 37, and he's seen a lot of baseball. He's had a great deal to do with affecting the control that has made Newhouser the great left-handed pitcher of the last 2 years. Now the count on Hughes is 2-2. Now it's 3-2 because that pitch was very high. The pitcher Erickson is supposed to hit next, but I imagine we'll have a pinch hitter for him if Hughes can do some business. That pitch is low into the dirt, bounces into Richards' glove. It's a walk for Hughes. I believe that's the first walk today given up by Newhouser. And here comes Frank Sicori up to be a pinch hitter. Sicori's coming up as a pinch hitter. This will be the fifth game in which Sicori has been used as a pinch hitter. And he has had two hits out of four times up. That gives him as a pinch hitter a .500 batting average, which is nothing to be sneezed at. Now there are cup runners at first and second. There's only one out, and Sicori, a right-handed batter, is standing in there. There's a curve that comes in and over for a called strike. Sicori's a big athlete, with a great big number 49 on his back. He's an outfielder. He comes from Fort Huron in the state of Michigan. He was born in Iowa. Swings, fouls it off, strike two. Newhouser in a bit of trouble here in the last half of the seventh. He's rubbing up the new ball very carefully himself. Newhouser looked very calm and cool at breakfast this morning in the hotel. Benton and Overmeyer still working in the bullpen for the Tigers. Now Sicori is ready to go again, and Newhouser has that ball rubbed up. He has two strikes on Sicori. Now he has three strikes on him, a called third strike. That was a very, very clever curveball that Newhouser hooked in there on the 0-2 pitch, and he got Sicori, who was standing taking. That makes it two out. The batter is Hack. Smiling Stanley Camfield Hack, the Californian, who's been one of the stars of this series. Bats left-handed. This is his fourth time up today, and he hasn't hit today, although he has 11 hits so far. The pitch is close to him and inside. Ball one. Livingston at second with itchy feet. Hughes at first. His itch two. Pitch to Hack is high for ball two. 2-0 the count. And regardless of how this series comes out, there's a great figure in baseball at that plate down there, Stan Hack. And out on that mound is a great young left-handed pitcher. He should have a magnificent career ahead of him, Harold Newhouser. Pitching here with very little rest today. There's a called strike that he whips in on Hack. Curveball just above the knees, nipped the outside corner to the left-handed batter. Now Mayo tries to sneak behind Livingston at second. The crowd warns him. Hack swings on that one. It goes to Outlaw down at third. He steps on third, forcing Livingston, retiring the side. Hack hits into a force out. He scores Livingston out at third to the third baseman, unassisted. So in the last half of the seventh inning, no runs for Chicago. One hit, two base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. At the end of seven full innings of play, the score is Detroit 7, Chicago 2. Now, when this crucial game ends this afternoon, stay tuned in for Bill Corum, famous columnist of the New York Journal American Sports Staff. Hear a great reporter highlight today's baseball classic. Now, while we're waiting for the start of operations in the top of inning number 8, let's take a little pause here, 10 seconds, for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving in the West.
Now at the end of inning number 7, Al has our totals for us here. Detroit, 7 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. Chicago, 2 runs, 6 hits, and no errors. And now coming in to pitch for Chicago in the top of the 8th inning is Claude Passeau. Passeau has been, as you know, one of the great figures in this series. Pitching up in Detroit, one of the most perfect games ever hurled in a World Series. Passeau, appearing in his third game, has pitched 15 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 6 hits. He has struck out 3, and he has walked 7. And he is credited with 1 victory and no defeats in this series. When he failed to come through down here, why, he was out, and the Cubs went ahead and won the ball game, so he was not credited with a defeat, or debited, rather, with a defeat. First batter he faces is Jimmy Webb, the right-handed hitting shortstop of Detroit. Passeau pitches to him low and inside. And Claude is working out there with a badly split fingernail on his left hand when he flagged down a hot line drive the other day, which is characteristic of Passeau. Webb fouls that one off. It's a high pop-up coming back into the stands. 1-1. Now down in the bullpen for Chicago is Brooklyn's Bob Chipman, a lefty. 1-1 is the count that the sturdy tongue nut farmer from Mississippi, Passeau, has on Webb. Now the count's 2-1 because that pitch by Passeau was too high. 2. Passeau working. Short windup. Webb taking. It's high. 3. 3-1. And of course, what's up to the Cubs now is to try to get these Tigers out of here just as rapidly as possible, then come back in the 2 innings of the regulation length that are left to Chicago, see what they can do about this 5-run deficit. Here's the pitch, high and inside, 4. Webb has walked. That's just the second walk that Skeeter has gotten in the series, and for Passeau, that's the 8th man he's walked. Now the batter is Eddie Mayo. Mayo has 1 hit out of 4 times up today, and 6-for-27 in the series. Eddie twists his left leg away from an inside pitch for 1. Passeau, taking lots of time, takes a look at Webb, who's being held on at first by Cabaretta. Passeau delivers. Here it comes. Mayo swings on it, slaps it down the left field line. A high leap by Hack won't do. The ball is rolling to the corner. It's being chased by Lowry. Here comes Webb around third, coming on in to score. And holding up at second with a double is Mayo. Now the score is 8-2, and Detroit has a commanding lead. Mayo is at second with a double down the left field line. Now here's Doc Kramer coming up. Left-handed batter who is 3-for-4 this afternoon. Swings, fouls it off. Strike 1. Eddie Mayo, whose double just a moment ago, drove in Webb from first after Webb had been walked, and whose double was his 7th hit. That's Mayo leading off second now. Feeling pretty good. Doc Kramer swings on that one, hits it on the ground, down to Don Johnson to second. Johnson bobbles it, picks it up, throws to first in time. Johnson's trying to juggle it. That ball bobbled away from him. He reached up in the air with his right hand, plucked it out of the air, threw it to first to get Kramer. Mayo going to third on the play. 1. Runner at third. Score 8-2 in favor of Detroit. And a stir goes through the crowd as Greenberg comes to the plate. Big Hank. Greenberg has walked twice, sacrificed once, and struck out once. This is his 5th time at the plate in this ball game. pitch is close to him and a little bit high. Ball one. And Detroit partisans here, and their numbers are not legion, are shouting for Hank to get a hit. They'd like to see him slug that long ball. Pasco is walking around on the mound, kicking some dirt out of the way, blowing his breath on his hand, which he does constantly. Pasco, the fifth pitcher for Chicago this afternoon, spells his name P-A-S-S-E-A-U. Here's the pitch. Greenberg swings on it, slices it out into left field, and Lowry comes in and makes a sensational running catch on it. There's the throw to the plate as Eddie Mayo comes in to score easily with run number nine. Mayo had to go back to third and touch up. Lowry came in, made a running catch on that line drive of Greenberg's out into left field, retiring Greenberg, but Mayo, speedy on his feet, came in to score run number nine for Detroit. That makes it two out, nobody on, two runs in here in the top of the eighth inning, and up comes Cullenbine. Cullenbine, who has been walked eight times in this series, steps up there and fouls off the first pitch from Pasco. Strike one. And so the road becomes steeper for the Cubs. Pasco delivers a little high, Cullenbine taking it for ball one. One ball, one strike. Cullenbine has struck out and strolled three times in this game. Another pitch to him is high again for ball two. Big Roy, who got off to a slow start in the series, come through in fair fashion. He has five hits out of 21 times up.
Swings on that one. There's a towering high infield pop-up. Back on the grass under it is Johnson now at second, and he takes it for the out. That retires the side for Detroit in the top of the eighth inning. Two runs on one hit with no base runners left on, and there were no Chicago errors. So at the end of seven and a half innings of play, the score is Detroit 9, Chicago 2. Well, it was Joe Cronin, famous for his affable way and his ready smile, who said earlier today that in his experience, no other shaving combination compares with the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade. Now I might add that in the Army and in the Navy, on land, on sea, and in the air, it's the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade by overwhelming odds. Naturally so, for the Gillette Blue Blade and the Gillette Razor are made for each other in the same factory by the same skilled craftsmen to the same high precision standards. Yes, today's Gillette Blue Blade and your Gillette Razor are the perfectly matched shaving combination. They fit exactly, work together beautifully, and turn in the smoothest performance known in shaving. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Now the home half of the eighth inning. And again, Hal Newhouser returns to the mound. And again, young Prince Hal will work that left arm of his. And he has been, despite the fact that he got off in the series to a faltering start and losing that first game at Detroit, he has been in the series, as through the season, the main pitching hope of the Detroit Tigers. And it's Newhouser out there today, pitching with just a couple of days' rest. And now he faces Don Johnson, the second baseman of the Cubs, who bats right-handed. Johnson swings on that one. There's a high foul peeling back into the stands. Strike one on Don. Johnson got a double his first time up in inning number one, grounded out in the third inning, and struck out his last time up in inning number six. Newhouser pitches low into the dirt on the inside. Ball one. One ball, one strike. And young Newhouser, this year, won 25 games against 9 losses for Detroit. And last year, he won 29 against 9 losses. And he's bidding here this afternoon for his second World Series victory for the Detroit Tigers. Now he grips that ball. He's ready to go. The one-and-one pitch to Johnson is high, ball two. Two balls, one strike. Don Johnson grips his bat, swings at a slow one, it's off balance, and fouls it off. Two balls, two strikes. Now Hank Wise is warming up in the bullpen for Chicago. Newhouser taking more and more time with each passing pitch as the game goes on and on into its final stanzas. Pitches low into the dirt. Ball three on Don Johnson.
There's activity in the bullpen of the Tigers now, too. Benton and Overmeyer. Johnson swings on that one. It's foul. On the ground outside of third base. 9-2, the score stands. And every loyal Chicago fan glued to his seat here as we move into the last half of the eighth. There's the 3-2 pitch to Johnson. He swings on it, slaps it down to shortstop. It's taken on the first bounce by Skeeter Webb. The throw to York in time. Johnson's out by two strides. Skeeter Webb's played a pretty snappy brand of baseball in this series. Been guilty of only one error, and he's had more than his fair share of chances there at shortstop. Now here's Peanuts Lowry, the former MP in the Army, who steps up there batting right-handed. 1-for-3 today. The delivery to him is high. Ball one. Lowry's had 8 hits in the series out of 28 times up. Takes a call strike. That was a downer, and it had a lot of stuff on it. That's inside, that pitch. Ball two. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Lowry. 1 out, nobody on in the last half of the 8th inning. Hal Newhouser calmly working. Winds up, left hands it in. It's swung on, blooped down the left field line. In comes Greenberg. He can't come up to it. It falls in for a hit for Lowry. And Lowry is on at first. That's his second hit of the afternoon. Both of them hit out there to Greenberg in left field. Now comes Cabaretta. That is the 7th hit off Newhouser. The 22nd hit off of him in the series. Bill Cabaretta, who's 2-for-3 this afternoon, steps up there. Dark complexion. Good looking, very quiet. Pitch to him is on the inside for ball one. Newhouser works, swung on by Cabaretta, and it's hit back on the ground into center field. Lowry is turning his way down to third, and Kramer fields the ball into second. Lowry is at third, Cabaretta at first. That was the 3rd hit today for Cabaretta. Now here's Papko, batting right-handed. He has a triple and 3 times up today. And the pressure is on Handy Andy. Swings on that one. It's a high foul coming back into the stand. Strike one on Papko. And here's the kid from the farm country of Wisconsin, who with his 5 brothers used to get up in the morning an hour ahead of time so they could get their farm chores done and go out and play some Papko baseball. And here he is with his team behind at bat with a chance to strike a great blow for his team, the Chicago Cubs, here in the 8th inning of the deciding game of this 45 World Series. Swings on that one. Hits it on the ground. Foul. Outside at third base. Score is 9-2 with Detroit in front. These Cubs, they're not through yet. Newhouser carefully rubbing up a new ball. 2 strikes quickly on Papko. He's fouled off 2 of them. The pitch is swung on. He strikes out. Newhouser struck out Papko twice in a row with men on bases. And for Newhouser, that is strikeout number 8. In the series, it's his 20th strikeout. That makes it 2 out now for Chicago in the last of the 8th. And still, Caporetta's at first and Lowry at third. And here's Nicholson. Nicholson hasn't hit today. Hasn't gotten the ball out of the infield. Takes an outside pitch for ball one. Nicholson, who has batted in 7 runs, more than anybody else in the series. There, batting left-handed, swings on one. There's a high, towering foul off to the right of the plate. Richards goes over to the stands, but it's going into the stands. That's a strike on Nicholson. 1 ball, 1 strike on Bad Bill. Nicholson, the big fella from down in Chesterton, Maryland. Fellow who, as a kid, wanted to go to the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis, but colorblindness kept him out. So he went to Washington College instead, graduated, and here he is, a Major League Baseball star. 1-1 on him. That pitch is down a little bit low into the dirt. I think he foul tipped it. Not sure. Foul tip hit Richards on the hand, and Richards is trotting over toward the dugout of the Tigers, and there will be time called now. Yep, Nicholson foul tipped that one just slightly off of his bat, and it caught Richards on the hand, his right hand, and he promptly ran over toward the dugout, and I think that that will be all for Richards. I believe Bob Swift is being waved in from the bullpen. So Richards has apparently hurt a finger on his throwing hand. And just to keep Newhouser warm, here comes Jimmy Wilson, I think. Let's see who that is coming out to warm him up. It's young Jimmy Miller. So it is coming out to keep Newhouser warm as Bob Swift gets the tools of catching on. And he's coming in here as Richards is injured in the last half of the eighth inning. That's too bad for Paul. One ball, two strikes is the count on the batter, Nicholson. And he's batting in the clutch for Chicago in the last half of the eighth as these Cubs try to stay in the running. Cabaret is at first, Lowry is at third. Now Steve O'Neill is walking out of the dugout of the Tigers and back to his spot, coaching behind third. And that'll be all in this series for Paul Richards. Richards has certainly done himself very handsomely in the series. Today he has driven in four runs, and this the seventh and deciding ball game, for a total of six runs batted in the series. He's had two doubles today, which gives him four hits out of 19 times up in the series. He was walked four times, and he struck out three times. And that's a record of accomplishment on the part of Paul Richards that stamps him as a tremendous asset to the Tigers in this very, very thrilling 1945 series. And Steve O'Neill has stopped on his way back to third now to say a few words to his son-in-law, Skeeter Webb, who plays at shortstop. And now O'Neill seems to have inspected everything, and he's going back to the Tiger dugout. And here's Bob Swift. Swift, who was born in Salina, Kansas. He said he thought up until a couple of weeks ago that he was born in a place called Kip, Kansas. But he sort of talked it over with the family, and they tell him he was born in Salina. They lived for a while in Kip, which is a small town outside of Salina, Kansas. And Swift, as we've mentioned before, is known as the best waffle maker in Major League Baseball. As if that had any bearing on what's happening right now down there. It doesn't. Newhouser is pitching to Swift now, and Swift is taking his throw down to second. Now he grabs the mask, puts it on, and the sturdy fellow is ready to go. Now here's the situation. There are two out in the last of the eighth. Lowry is at third, Cabaret is at first. They both hit Newhouser. And the count on Bill Nicholson is one ball, two strikes. Now the left-handed slugger Nicholson is in there. Again, his jaw is stuck out at Newhouser. Newhouser pitches low and outside, ball two. Two balls, two strikes, two out, two on. Newhouser stretches. Nicholson swings on it, and it's foul. On the ground, down the first baseline. Count remains two balls, two strikes. Though Detroit has a lead of 9-2, this game, like all baseball games, and that's one of the thrilling aspects of this great American pastime, is not over until the last man is out. Nobody is saying that to himself more sharply than Nicholson at the plate now. Swings on one, slaps it on to center field. It's good for a hit. It's going to the right of Kramer. Lowry has already scored. Cabaretta is rounding third and holding up at third, and Nicholson is into second with a double. Cabaretta was held up at third as that ball was retrieved in left center field by Doc Kramer and whipped in. Kramer has a pretty good throwing arm. So Nicholson is at second now. Cabaretta is at third. One run is crossed. The score is 9-3, and the batter is Mickey Livingston. That's the eighth run batted in this series for Nicholson, and it ties him for a seven-game series record with Gus Gosselin of Washington, who batted in 8 runs in 24, and Al Simmons of the A's, who hit in 8 runs in 1931. Of course, in a four-game series, Gehrig in 28 drove in 9. Now there's a swinging strike by Mickey Livingston, who missed it. Livingston, batting right-handed, is 1-for-3 today. He has driven in 4 runs in this series. He has 8 hits out of 21 times up. The pitch is good for a call strike. Livingston started for it, checked his swing, and Art Passarella calls it a strike. So it's 2 strikes on Livingston. Runners at second and third for Chicago. 2 out, last of the eighth. The Cubs trying to rally. Newhouser pitches, it's high and inside. Ball one. One ball, 2 strikes. Livingston, a discharged GI, was in the Army ground forces. He's had his misfortunes in baseball. He's had his ups and downs, but he's a hard customer. Swing, strikes out. So Newhouser whips through his ninth strike out of the ball game to retire the side in the last half of the eighth inning. That brought one run for Chicago on three hits, two base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. So the score at the end of eight full innings of this thrilling seventh and deciding game of the 45 series is Detroit 9 and Chicago 3. Well, you can't afford to miss Bill Corum's highlights of today's thrilling ball game. So stay tuned in. Hear a great reporter do his stuff right off the cuff just as soon as the last man is out in this game here at Wrigley Field.